Canucks Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio as we kick off another edition of Canucks Central. This hour is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza, and we broadcast live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. Sat, how you doing?
I'm great.
Yep.
It's a beautiful sunny day today.
I asked Canuck Central coming up, what should we talk about?
Oh, what did they say? What do people want to hear us speak about?
Stefan says the beautiful weather.
Okay.
Nikon asking, could you beat Corey Perry in hand-to-hand combat?
Beat Corey Perry in hand-to-hand? I mean, I think I could put up a fight, but I don't know if I beat Corey Perry in hand-to-hand combat.
Nikon is with us today behind the glass, checking out what sports radio is all about, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, we're doing our best not to scare the the young gentleman off.
And Wobbsman says, not last night or the playoffs. How about apathy setting in across the province? Oh, it is heavy.
Well, how would people
maybe go
feel
for a walk on the seawall? I don't know. Enjoy the beautiful weather. Maybe the vitamin D will bring better vibes into your mind.
Could you imagine the mood if it wasn't sunny today?
Man, if we were going through one of those dreadful spells of just rain, you look at the forecast on your phone, like rain.
Like the sunshine is literally waking me up in the morning now. You know, so it's like, oh yeah, the sunshine is getting me out of bed. That's a pretty pleasant way to wake up, right?
Canucks might get blasted on home ice tomorrow night by the Washington Capitals. The sun's going to rise on Sunday morning.
It has a soothing, calming feeling. It does for me at least, right? Because I've been woken up by the sun the last few days. If it was like dark and gloomy, you wake up and it's like 9:30 for me because I sleep in, and you wake up and you still think it's night, but it's not. That would probably make this feel a lot worse.
You turn the Canucks game on to rewatch it, and you're just cussing all day.
Yeah. So you know, this is our version of Mr. Brightside.
Yeah. Well, trying to be right now, until we get to the open, which is right now.
Welcome to the open.
Too good for your home? Answer me!
Breaking news, the Edmonton Oilers have scored again on the Vancouver Canucks.
Funny one, Dan.
Ah, so good. The dad jokes just flowing today. The open on Canucks Central, it's where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is, the Canucks got blasted by the Edmonton Oilers last night in what was supposed to be a response game, not necessarily because of everything that happened with McDavid and Myers and their suspensions, but because the coach said, I'm expecting a response after one of the most disappointing performances I've had while coaching this team over the last 2 years. Did the coach get that response last night, Sat?
Yeah.
No, he didn't. He did not.
That was not the type of response at all that you wanted to see.
Not even remotely close.
And I mean, should we be surprised? I guess not. Like, it's,
I mean, they did it last week actually, where they got blown out two games in a row with Winnipeg and LA.
We didn't learn anything new from the team.
Earlier in the season, they would at least keep their blowouts to one game, one game situations. They were singular. They weren't, they weren't plural.
No.
As far as like, hey, we really went through it for a three game stretch.
There's a chain reaction
with
consecutive losses and it getting worse. And the thing that's been so disconcerting is it is getting worse.
Yes.
You know,
really, ever since Elliot Friedman said,
Are you blaming Elliot?
I am. Sorry, Elliot. But after the Toronto game, I believe he said, you know, the Canucks went through rock bottom and they feel like the worst. So I'm paraphrasing, but essentially that's what he said. Am I wrong here?
You're not wrong. And I do recall, not to blame, you can blame Elliot. I'm not blaming Elliot.
Sorry,
for the
Elliot.
Record.
Sorry,
for the
not
record.
Sorry.
But we did talk about the notion of rock bottom around that time. And what is my new?
You've been saying that for years. Like ever since I've known you, it's just like, be careful saying like declaring it's rock bottom because things could always get worse.
Yeah, it's logical to think that yes. something can't get better and that something can't get worse. Both are always true.
Yeah. Sat's point is it's better to declare rock bottom after it's happened.
Yes, than trying to predict rock bottom.
Than trying to, proclaim that this is the moment where rock bottom has happened.
No, and I think one thing that you kind of learn over time, and especially as you get older, is how little control you have.
Yes.
Over anything, mm-hmm. and how little your predictive powers actually work, mm-hmm. right?
Yep,
and
yep.
and you can have the best process. You might be on a heater, right? You might be on a stretch where the things you say and the things you predict like all happen. And people yep. are like, man, this guy really knows what's going on. And then you hit this patch where like nothing happens because the world doesn't work yeah. according to your belief system and what you believe can and should be happening. But nonetheless, we don't need to get all philosophical here about things getting worse or not. Yeah. But this is real. Like in real time, you're watching a situation that you thought couldn't get worse continually get worse.
Yeah.
And the question everybody has, because we can't move past this, because clearly the team can't move past it. They're waiting for a trade, a move, right? Everybody's waiting for something to happen. But that move, is it really around the corner?
Well, that's sort of my question coming out of yesterday's game. Has last night created more urgency for the Canucks to make a move, similar to what happened or almost happened after in the wake of the LA Kings loss, where JT Miller was an inch away from being scratched ahead of last Saturday's game against the Edmonton Oilers?
Yeah, it's like you're already doing 150 on the highway and you're going now 155, right? It's like, does it really matter? You know what I mean? Like you're already going as hard as you can. And yeah, perhaps the urgency is somewhat increased, but everything I gather is the team is in the same spot. They're not going to make a deal just for the sake of making a deal.
Yeah.
And if, and not only if, it's really becoming a matter of when, they do move one of the big players, they're not just going to do it for the sake of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They understand on JT, they understand on Pedersen, if and when they do make trades for involving those players, you can't lose that trade. Now, you may not have to have it be a home run, but it has to be a trade that allows you to take the next step.
Yeah.
To figure out what you're doing next.
Mm-hmm.
And that is of the utmost importance. We all know how asset poor this team is outside of their best players, right?
Yeah.
These are your shots here. Like if you're trying to turn this around in a year or so and really rejig this puzzle and perhaps try to find a couple different core players, because clearly this core ain't it, you have to make this the right trade. And obviously they would like to do it now. We all want to see it happen now, but you can't force it. And unless, and again, like what did we say yesterday? Deadlines make deals. The deadline mm-hmm. is 6 weeks away. Who's going to earnestly come to the table and try to make a deal that Vancouver can accept right now? I don't see it yet.
Yeah.
Maybe it changes, but that's what it's going to have to take. Somebody that skips the line and says, we'll give you close to what you want. Let's make a deal today.
There is and should be no urgency from Carolina's side of things to try and get a deal done. They're comfortably on 63 points. You know, they're comfortably in second place in the Metropolitan Division. There's not much that's going to change where they sit in the playoff picture from now until March 7th when the trade deadline comes. So where is your urgency? The only reason your urgency would tick up is that you so desperately want JT Miller and don't want him to go anywhere else, maybe to the New York Rangers. But what's their urgency? They're playing well right now and finding their groove 6 weeks away from the trade deadline. No reason for them to make that move in this moment. And for anybody saying, well, you've just got to make a move, addition by subtraction, I'm here for that conversation. But if that move requires you to, let's say, retain salary on JT Miller, well, now you are making a move that affects you in a negative way for how many years to come. Mm-hmm. So is that really an optimal thing that you can do to help this team? Maybe it helps in the here and now, but now it's an obstacle you've created that you have to work around for the next many years as you try to find a replacement for JT Miller. So there is no easy solutions for the Vancouver Canucks right now.
No, nothing is easy. And like we talked about yesterday as well, and I think it bears repeating, you're probably not getting the piece you want, especially in a JT trade. So if you're trading JT, you're looking to get the types of pieces that allows you to go out and maybe get what you're looking for, kind of like how they made the Hronek deal, right? That's really a big part of what they're trying to accomplish here, especially around JT. So unless you can get rid of your entire the entire contract and get those assets, like a first-round pick, a decent roster player, and like a really good prospect or a really solid prospect that allows you to go out and make those deals, why would you make the trade right now if you're Vancouver?
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's the big part. And I know people have been asking, like, why would you wait until the offseason? How does that make it any better or not? It's to some degree, it's philosophical whether you think offers get better later or not. But you have time, use it. That's a big part of it. And when you get to the offseason, a lot of things can change. And if right now the dynamics aren't lining up for you now, you may as well wait to see if the dynamics line up any differently for you when you get to the offseason. And again, people should go and take a look at the free agent list for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And look at how many teams have question marks and how many teams have needs.
Yeah.
And every single team or most teams are going to be looking for an impact forward at some point. A lot of teams looking for an impact center.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to find one in free agency. They won't exist. So the dynamic come the summertime could be a lot different around a player like JT even, right? The thing that, you know, Elliott's mentioned, and you know, we've all kind of wondered if they would actually do this. Would they walk away from both players? Where, if let's say for instance, we see a Pettersson trade happen by the deadline, and JT's still here, like hypothetical, right? Let's say they trade Pettersson because he's the easier deal to make, and he goes out, but JT's still here.
Yeah,
to me, that doesn't guarantee that JT will still be here in the summer.
No,
like it wouldn't shock me that, like, if you're going that far, and if things are going off the deep end to the degree they are, that they make a big reset move. And that wouldn't shock me. So if that happens, there'll be a big narrative, I think, around Pettersson gets traded. Why is JT still here? That might be a short-lived stay. Now, they both may stay here, too. Like, again, all these possibilities are there. But I think the situation has gotten to a point where the only player this team is not going to move is number 43.
He is the one untouchable. And it makes a lot of sense why that would be the case. And I wouldn't understand how you could look at this situation. I know, you know, Pettersson discussions and rumors and all this stuff has picked up a little bit today, and that, yeah, the Canucks are still listening on Elias Pettersson. I mean, why wouldn't you? What is making you not listen on Elias Pettersson right now? If he doesn't want you, like, Pettersson went to the Canucks and said he wants to stay. Play like it.
Yeah.
At some point, we need to see you play like it. And also off the ice as well, because you're making $11.6 million. I'm sorry if I expect you to be more than just a quiet guy in the room. Like, you need to believe, if you are the Canucks front office, that you can win with these players, ultimately. And they're rightfully so, having very serious questions about whether or not they can win with these players. They clearly believe that they can win with Quinn Hughes on the roster. But what is Pettersson, what is Miller, and whatever beef they've got going on between them, what have they shown to say that you can win with those guys on the roster this year?
Right.
This team crumbles under any little speed bump that shows up in their way. The smallest of snowballs starts building on them, and it grows and grows and grows, and they can't stop it from growing because they do not have the fortitude, the togetherness as a core, and that ultimately lands on the leadership group and really those two guys, because if you have that, if you have a leadership group that's together, everybody else falls in line. And I think that's where this is really breaking apart right now, Sat, because it's clear everything that happened last night, they don't have that right now. And I would see why the front office is, yes, still listening on Pettersson and still listening on Miller at this point.
Yeah, I mean, listening and actually accomplishing is still two different things.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people texting in Fonz and a bunch of other people. What about Bruff? Bruff was tweeting out that the Canucks are holding meetings and he believes something is brewing. And again, like, we're in a situation now where the Canucks are active, and I believe the meetings that Bruff is talking about have been ongoing for a while. Like, I don't think it's just, like, new. And maybe today there's even more urgency, and, hey, we are working around the clock. That could be going on, right? I don't get the sense that anything was close as of when we started the show. Again, like this can change in about 15 minutes, 20 minutes or whatever it is. But that's just the intel I have. Now, maybe something does kind of come down the wire here based on the team being active, so to speak. But like I said, the line I got, and this was before I came on the show, that the team isn't going to just rush into something and that there is a sense that they're going to have to ride this out.
Mm-hmm.
How long? I don't know. And that doesn't mean they're not going to make a trade. That doesn't mean that they don't want to make a trade. But again, like, you can't force it. Everyone wants a trade, and I think everybody agrees you need to make the right trade.
Well,
right?
There's other players on the roster, too. Brock Besser is an unrestricted free agent.
Okay, you know what? Fair point, right? Because we talk about JT, we talk about Pettersson. Yeah. Those are more complicated, right? Besser is straightforward.
Yep.
By the deadline.
You can get the rental package. I'm sure you could get it if you really wanted to look at that move right now.
No, right? Yeah, exactly. You could do that. Okay, could that happen? Possibly. Is anything close on it? Maybe, but that's a possibility. Demko's name has been out there. I know Woodley was on Canucks Talk today and kind of mentioned in the goalie community, his name's been mentioned and people wonder about Carolina. We talked about this yesterday that if you're trying to still change the core because the core needs a shakeup, a big piece of the core has been Demko.
Yep.
Now he's coming off injury.
Patrick Alvin stated he is a part of the big core.
Well, of course.
The core four.
Yeah, and he's a big personality in that room, right? So if you're trying to really remake it and you remove him, maybe that gives you a little bit of a shakeup, right? Is that a possibility? That's a possibility, but here's the complicating part. He's really struggled.
Yes.
He's coming off a bad injury.
Yeah.
What's the market around him, right? Like, is anybody giving you even anywhere near the value he may have had?
At best, he's a buy-low candidate.
Massive
right?
buy-low
because
candidate.
Because he was runner-up for the Vezina last year. Most of his career, he's been a solid, as solid can be, goalie. His biggest issue has been staying on the ice and staying available, staying healthy. But, you know, if you're in a situation where you need a goalie and a goalie that you feel could maybe get you over the hump, I could see why you might be interested in buying low on Thatcher Demko.
Yeah. And so the Demko thing, again, complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys sense a theme here?
Yeah. Everything is complicated.
Everything is very complicated. That's why it's not easy to pull
this
off.
When you suck, as the Canucks do right now.
Everything's complicated.
Everything's complicated. There is no easy trade to make. Nobody is throwing you a life raft right now.
Okay. All right. How about this then? You can't make a trade. What about the coach? Do you make a coaching change?
No.
And okay.
I know Tockett is pretty much at his wit's end. You can see it in his body language and the way he's talking after games.
But I mean, you could argue you'd be putting him out of his misery to some extent, right? But
this
again,
is the third coach now for 100%. A lot of this core.
And that's why, I pose the question kind of rhetorically here because they're not going to fire the coach.
No.
The only way the coach gets fired is if it becomes a business decision somehow. Yeah. You know what I mean by a business decision, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the losing continues, gets worse and worse. You can't make a trade. You're stuck.
Easier to change the coach than it is to change the players.
Yeah, and it becomes above management to some degree when those things kind of happen. And again, things haven't gotten to that point, but they can. They can get worse.
You're 3 points out of a playoff spot now.
I mean, and Calgary has a game in hand.
Yeah.
So let's say the Flames win 3 in a row, the Canucks lose 3 in a row. You're 9 out.
Yeah. You're
done.
You're way out.
It's over. Like, you're literally...
You're in a really ugly spot.
You can say it's done now. I mean, I wouldn't blame you for it. But you lose 3 in a row and Calgary wins even 2 of those, like, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, say
goodnight. It's a big hill to climb.
Right? Especially when you're going to be into the 50-game mark. Right?
And you're probably going to be moving some key players.
So you're pretty much cooked if and when that happens. If that happens and then they keep losing and they haven't made a trade, does it get to a point where the coach's job becomes, is in jeopardy potentially? Yeah, potentially. But I don't think that's a move we're going to see here in this week or the next few days.
No.
So, like, I don't know if help's not coming.
Nope.
Potentially.
Mm.
Things can always get worse.
Mm.
Are they going to get worse?
Well, they do seem to only play well on one day of the week, Saturday.
Okay. Are we going to have a reprieve from this tomorrow?
I mean, at least the last two Saturdays, they put together like some of their better performances of the season. The 3-2 win over Edmonton, and a couple of weeks ago, the 3-0 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. So why not just put together a brilliant defensive performance against the number one team in the National Hockey League, the Washington Capitals, when they roll into town tomorrow night. That is the Canucks Central Roundup. Let's get into it as the Canucks will welcome in Alex Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals tomorrow at Rogers Arena. Ovechkin is now 20 goals away. So dare I say, Canucks are probably safe from being the team, at least this season, that Ovechkin tops Gretzky's record on. I don't think he can score 20 empty netters in one game. So
it will not happen tomorrow night, but he might get closer, significantly closer.
Did score another empty netter, though, last night.
I know you have Alex a problem Ovechkin. With that. iMac had an issue with it last night, too. It's becoming a thing.
I think it was Ray Ferraro who mentioned Ovi's now got 61 empty netters in his career. Gretzky had 60. So.
Okay, so he has one more.
Yeah.
He's going to have a few more.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's not a huge gap.
It's not a huge gap.
Like, if we're going to sit here, like, let's say he has five more by the time he breaks the record, is that going to be, like, the thing people are hung up on?
It's not going to be something that you're really hung up on.
Yeah, it's not going to
be. But just don't beat the record on an empty netter.
Honestly, considering the discourse, I kind of want to see it now, just to see the world burn. The chaos. I mean, I know people were mad at you last night because you said this team is the most unlikable Canucks team you've seen in a while. People were mad at me last night because I said I kind of love Corey Perry. Because, I mean, like, Corey Perry was doing the type of stuff Alex Burrows was doing back in the day for the Canucks, right?
I mean, Corey Perry's made a living off of this over the last five, I mean, his whole career, but the main reason he's still in the NHL is because of this role that he plays.
Yeah, does he play like a scumbag? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You kind of need scumbags sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and like,
it's up to the Canucks to make sure he can't play that role.
Don't let him run roughshod over you the way you did, right? Ultimately, you let him smack you around, right? Yeah. But the point being, I think it's pretty easy right now to get a negative reaction and people are just really fed up about things. But yeah, I mean,
Just to spend a brief moment, we're going to talk to Yannick about this more, and I'm sure he's going to be fired up.
Former player, fired up about a captain getting, you know, pushed around.
The captain getting pile-drived and nobody doing anything about it.
It's like a DDT.
I mean, it was fun to see Pettersson get into the scrum, though, a little bit. Yeah, that was, he tried. So if Perry's not engaging at some point during the course of the game, as he wasn't yesterday.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to take a run at Evan Bouchard.
Yeah, and take a run. Let's just preface this disclaimer. Reach isn't saying go on two hands, cross-check him in the face, or do something dirty and injure him. It's like, yeah, throw a hit, maybe face wash him a little bit.
You know, throw a hit in a scrum, get after him
in the back, or a little smart. You know
just
what I
like
mean?
Perry
just
did.
Yeah,
you know, like it was after a scrum, after the whistle was blown. He's like, oh, I can take a free shot at Quinn here. Sure, I'm gonna go and do it.
Yeah.
Well, somebody's got to go and give some business to Evan Bouchard.
But you have to care.
It doesn't have to be the dirtiest thing in the game, but, you know, go after one of their stars as they just went after your ultimate star.
Now, credit to Teddy Bluger,
even
Mark Friedman. Poor Mark Friedman.
And that was we called it in the pregame show, but that was the softest whistle for the Oilers possible.
Oh, yeah. They got four power plays, Canucks none.
Yeah.
And even, as soon as Friedman was wanting to do anything towards Perry, they got rid of him too. Yeah. So they protected Perry really well last night.
They did. Protected Perry more than they protected Quinn Hughes.
And Connor McDavid too.
Like, there's Corey Perry. Why don't we protect our stars like LeBron and Mahomes?
And the refs are like, damn it, you're right. We'll protect you.
Hey, man's got over 400 goals. Technically, at one point he was a star,
but
right?
The reason
stole a Hart trophy from Daniel Sedin.
But the reason the level of retribution that you wanted didn't happen is because the Canucks didn't care enough for it last night.
Yeah.
They didn't care enough.
No. It's a team that's not together.
Yeah.
And that's really it. And that's why, part of the reason I called them the most unlikable Canucks team of the last decade. You can agree with it or not, but it feels like most people are on board with this being the most unlikable Canucks team in a very long time right now. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. It is Canuck Central. Coming up, Yannick Hansen going to join us on Sportsnet 650.